Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Steve Williamson here. And
like Cosentino.
Sitting across from me, interrupting my introduction, is Michael Cosentino.
Well, you know, I think we should do save the beloved co-host thing for Harriet Young this morning. We have Harriet Young here, political science maven of the Northern Arizona, is going to enlighten and entertain us a little bit. Arizona is an experiment. We are a right wing experiment. And we all who live here know it's going bad, and it's gone bad. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible place. Don't have a child here. Matter of fact, I want to tell everybody right now, here on the air at the top of the show, get the hell out of Arizona. If you got a child, get out of Arizona. You don't want to. If you're a teacher, get out of Arizona. You can't have a career here. You can't. You don't want to educate children here. Because we're going to talk about the crazy Arizona legislature today, right, Harriet? Good morning.
Absolutely, the crazy Arizona legislature. There's not enough words in the dictionary to describe just how batshit crazy they really are.
That's also true. And Harriet is professor emeritus of political science at NAU. She's had every political position in the Democratic Party that's possible to have in Arizona and nationally. She's done every single office twice. And I think you're retired.
Of course, go ahead.
But the vice president of the American Association of University Women.
In Arizona.
In Arizona.
Not national.
Got some work to do then.
Yeah.
And Silent Gary LeMaster is here, and he actually knows something. So we've included him in the conversation
today. I wouldn't assume that.
So Mike brought up the legislature, Harriet. Let's talk about our legislature. Harriet is one of the few people who can talk about our legislature and not make me terribly, terribly depressed. The facts are depressing, but you're a pretty cheery person.
I am. Somebody said that that it's like having a fix of caffeine to talk about the government, because I'm energized about understanding it and explaining it. The actual legislative body itself, not so much.
Well, that's it. And people, as soon as you say HB 999 and SB 222, then you start to lose people. But we're going to hear some of that this morning, I think. But
people need to know what's going on in the legislature.
Yeah. Let's start with one of the craziest things that's going on, if I may.
Oh, go ahead.
And that's the fact that Andy Biggs is blocking the expansion, or the reinstatement, I should say, of 30 to 50,000 poor kids to access health care.
Well, of course, he won the Publishers Clearinghouse, so I read somewhere it was $10 million, so why would he care?
And just to kind of explain, this is a bill to reinstate that passed the House and the legislature overwhelmingly, and he single-handedly is blocking it in the Senate. And the bill would cost the citizens of Arizona absolutely zero. And yet he refuses to bring it to a vote in the Senate.
Who blocks free health care for kids except the crazy Arizona legislature?
Well, Andy Biggs, he's working his whole life's mission. I heard him say this in Flagstaff maybe 2 years ago when the Board of Supervisors was meeting with him. And he said that his goal in life was to create a structured, balanced budget in Arizona, and that would be his gift to his legacy. And if it takes taking money and food away from little children, well, so be it. Because Andy wants a structured, balanced budget, because God wants it,
with no income taxes.
Oh, well, that's going to come right after we pass 1, 2, 3. We'll eliminate income taxes.
Well, ideology, the conservative ideology, the Koch brother ideology, over reason has been the Arizona mantra for quite a long time.
they may have influenced the Koch brothers. I have a strong suspicion that they learned what they learned here. But the Koch brothers' father, you know, was one of the founders of the John Birch Society. Yeah. So he also built, what, gas and oil refineries for both the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany, which is the origin of their great Ford. Now, his favorite group actually was the Nazis. He liked them. He didn't like the communists at all. So
yeah,
that sort
I could
of
see that.
Tells the tale.
Charles and David and his and their two,
the
brothers,
two brothers
were
yeah.
raised by a nanny who was an avowed Nazi.
Yeah.
If
you guys haven't read Jane Mayer's book, Dark Money, go buy it now.
Oh, yes.
This will teach you what you need to know about who's trying to run our government.
It's on the shelf of my favorite bookstore in Cottonwood. I'm saving up for it.
Yeah. I was on a dissertation committee 2 years ago, and an education PhD candidate wrote his paper, his dissertation, on the origins of education dark money, because it has influenced Arizona so much.
What's that mean? What's education dark money?
Education dark money is the money that comes in from the Koch brothers. You know, they have something like 300 units that they funnel money through to influence different kinds of public policy.
Coctopus.
So they've got the coctopus. Yes, there we go.
That's one way to say it.
One of them is an organization designed just to influence education.
Yeah.
And what was 402? I forget what that. There was an education reform bill, or 202. I don't remember the bill numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a education reform, teachers increase teacher salaries, et cetera, 2-3 years ago. And one of our legislators took the lead to oppose it. And the money behind the campaign came from one of the Koch's subcommittees.
Yeah.
And he traced that money back, and that was when he began to see the size of the organization that is changing America.
Yeah.
And if you don't think it's an organization intent on complete control, you have to look at the 2010 election, when how many states went Republican 100% state house, legislature, and governor, just like Arizona.
I think people are reassured when President Obama was reelected. What they didn't realize is that so much of the money is spent nationally, even locally. They're spending a bunch of money on judgeships all over.
Well, you can buy a House seat in Arizona for $80,000. You can get a Senate seat for $120,000. The Koch brothers figured out this is way more cost effective.
Oh, yeah.
It's exactly what Harriet said.
Oh, yeah.
30, 35 states.
Yeah.
House.
Apparently, there's no elected dog catchers in the United States,
or
they would be probably giving money to those guys.
Well, they figured out this is a federal system. Now, I teach political science. My field is legislatures.
Yeah.
So I tend to be focused on them. But what they figured out was the essence of the U.S. Constitution. When you read that the powers in elections are located in states' rights, it's in the state, in the U.S. Constitution, that election laws will be written by the states. The minute you see that, you realize, well, man, if we want to take over the country, it may take a little longer, but it will be more thorough. We take over the states.
Suppress the vote.
And suppress the vote, and we start enforcing the ALEC program, which is if the corporations don't like it, we ain't going to do it. We need voters, so who do we throw red meat to? The religious cranks in the country and the gun nuts in the country. They're going to be our voters, though they have no benefit.
We refer to them as gun owners, but
is that right?
Well,
all right.
Well, the door's not locked.
Oh, well,
it's
here
not
they
very
come.
Thick to begin with. I do want to say ALEC is the American Legislative Exchange Council, which writes a lot of the laws we're living under today, folks, in 2016. Don't take my word for it. Go, look it up on the internet. American Legislative Exchange Council, a lot of legislators, they invite legislators. Many of our legislators go every year to their conference. And
the Koch brothers, I guess, have more employees now engaged in full-time, mm-hmm. paid employees engaged in politics in the United States than the Republican mm-hmm. Party does.
One of the fascinating...
Wow, say that again. Don't say it again. I got it, but that's an amazing thing.
They have more employees, they have more organizers and stuff now.
And they spend more money.
Paid people than the Republican Party. And you're right,
Harry,
they spend way more money. And they're in every state. They're in Flagstaff. They've got two... I don't know what they call themselves.
Americans for Prosperity is the usual front group.
Well, yeah. One of the fascinating things about the dark money and the Koch brothers is that the Congress passed, under the Republican leadership, passed a bill that would prevent the IRS from looking into the various nonprofit organizations that are illegally involved in politics. And they also cut the budget of the IRS. Yes. So even if they wanted to, they couldn't.
Yes.
Isn't there a law, Harriet, going in
defund the opposition? If you remember Newt Gingrich, that was when he became Speaker of the House in 94. His mantra to his followers was, we're going to defund the opposition. And that's anything that supports the Democratic Party or any groups of people. I was told as recently as 2 days ago by a Republican that that was the purpose of killing public education in Arizona, is that a lot of the teachers and a lot of the education people are Democrats, for God's sake. So, of course, they're the enemy. So, of course, let's defund them.
But let's make this clear. That is the intent. That is Ducey's intent. And we before the we went on the air, we're talking about Proposition 1, 2, 3, which we're all going to vote on May 17th. Aren't we, folks? May 17th, vote. For or against.
Not all.
We're going to talk about for or against right now. I'm getting notes from teachers that are saying, how can you be against? They see my Facebook posts and they say, how can you be against Proposition 1, 2, 3? This is the only way we're ever going to get any money. I said, why would you take this deal? The League of Women Voters are against it. AEA is for it. So this is, we're talking about, anybody that's listening out there knows that education has been chronically underfunded in Arizona for many, many years.
Yeah, but I'm one of the people in favor of it. I think that you've got to make nasty compromises to get some money to teachers.
Well, that's the
in
American
Sedona,
system.
It'll give each of our teachers a $4,000 a year raise.
But
That's how they're going to spend the money. And the money arrives June 1st or early in June. So I am in favor of it. I think, and I just throw this out there because we disagree about 123. I'll put this out there. The only way things are going to get better is to change the legislature.
Absolutely.
As long as it's controlled by Tea Party style Republicans, there still are some education oriented Republicans, but there are fewer and fewer of them. And they're kind of overwhelmed by being in this sort of Tea Party Republican.
They're not against education. They're just against public education.
Yeah. Right.
They want private and parochial. I heard a commercial on the air before, as I was driving up here, about, you know, if you don't give money to the STOs, the student tuition organizations, you're denying some poor child an opportunity for a parochial or private school education.
Yeah. Well, I think
and
the
Mr.
thing
Yarborough
is...
Mr. Yarborough has made $1 million so far running his STO, which he wrote as chairman of the ethics committee. I think that's particularly charming. I write the ethics laws, and then I live by them.
All right, now say that this guy's in the legislature?
Yes, Mr. Yarborough.
And his primary source of income.
And his primary, and he has a building that he leases to his STO, and so his STO pays for leasing the building. They pay his wife as an administrator. They pay him both as the director of the STO and as its lawyer. And all their vehicles are paid for by the STO. He's estimated to make over $100,000 himself personally, every year.
Isn't this called corruption?
Heavens no. He wrote the ethics law. He wrote it. So it's not against any law.
Well, we're laughing, but this isn't funny. This is
open, our state,
open,
Arizona.
Open, blatant corruption.
It just seems so obvious in terms
Sylvia
of
Allen?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the way that they get a lot of the stuff, Harriet, is talk about choice.
Oh.
We're for school choice.
Yes.
And it's like for, what to say? It's one of the choice can undercut the possibilities for everybody if it's not the right kind of choice. So they're using it to destroy public education, right?
And my husband, bless his heart, died several years ago as an economist. So I listened to the origins of capitalism and the philosophical background of capitalism until I, you know, hit him alongside the head, but I did not kill him. The basis of choice is that each of us is equally endowed with both intelligence and information, and therein lies the rub. We may have somewhat equal intelligence, although I would challenge that, but we certainly don't have the same information.
That's right.
You and I sitting here in this room probably are overread, whereas the people listening to us perhaps don't read quite as much as we do or search things out and try to understand who's saying it, why are they saying it, who are the crazy people saying these things.
Let's be clear. The reason for the choice is not to help the individuals. It represents an opportunity by the right wing to privatize large pools of government money.
That's what
so they've
That's
taken
what
taken over the two largest budget items in Arizona are are prisons and schools.
Yep.
So if you can privatize that money, you control everything.
I used to say in class, looking at students at a public institution, you know, being paid by the state to teach these children, I'd look at them and say, we've got the biggest budget in the state, and all anybody can do is look at it and say, why can't we move that funnel of money into private hands? That's why they want to privatize Social Security. That's why you get that mantra. If you could put that money into Wall Street, think of how happy the Wall Street brokers would be to have all of our Social Security money to play with.
They would make billions of dollars in terms of
trillions.
Billions.
Trillions.
You're probably right.
It is trillions.
And Harriet's saying, she's telling her students that education was the largest part of the Arizona budget, which it was. For a long, long time. When I was in the classroom, it was 57% of the budget. According to AEA a couple of weeks ago on this show, it's 42% of the budget.
42%. You realize that 1-2-3 caps the education budget at 49%. And the rumor has it that the first thing that happens after 1-2-3 passes is that there will be a bill drop to end the state income tax, which will reduce the total budget possibly by a substantial amount, which could mean that by the second day after the income tax is eliminated, the school budget exceeds 50%, at which point, according to 1-2-3, what can happen?
I think the thing I'm not sure that I agree with that, but I think the thing
think
is that there are 16 Republicans in the state Senate, right? And I guess, 18 Republicans and 12 Democrats. So if we could flip the state Senate, the stuff will stop happening.
Yes.
That's basically it, folks. If you want to protect education, arguing about 1-2-3 and stuff is great, and I think we should have a debate on that. But the real thing to do is elect people who favor education to the state Senate and the state House. There is no other solution. Whatever 1-2-3 is, they're going to do something nasty and cutting education, whatever happens, whether it passes or it doesn't pass. Down the line, the process of cutting taxes and cutting education will continue until you get people, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, who support public education in the legislature.
Absolutely. Nikki Bagley for Senate.
My problem is the deception of what I believe is the deception of 1-2-3. If it passes, then they can say, we've fixed the public education budget in Arizona, so everything's okay, so they'll get reelected.
No, we say you haven't fixed the budget and you've done blah, blah, blah. The argument is, well, I think the thing is that the campaign for public education is a long-term one. I wouldn't look at this election. I'd look at the next couple of elections. The legislature has to change, folks. If it's just even, or if it's one more Democrat than Republican, this stuff will stop. All these crazy bills that Harriet's going to talk about will stop because they won't be brought up. As long as there is a supermajority, a majority of very conservative Tea Party people in in the Republican Party who, frankly, intimidate other mm-hmm. other members of the legislature. I mean, they really do intimidate people in Republicans who are
by bringing guns onto the floor.
I love that, except Gowan is now going to not let reporters onto the floor, apparently because he's afraid now. I wonder if he's not afraid of other legislators. Why not keep them off the floor?
Let's talk about that. Talk about that, Harriet. We have
Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House.
That's a really big deal, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a really big deal.
What's he doing, Harriet? He said for generations, folks, I don't know, way back into, I don't know how far back into Arizona
30 years.
History, reporters have been able to get on the floor of the House and talk to members.
Now representatives.
Our representatives.
Yes, yeah. The people representing the people. So this isn't like some private club, by the way.
Right. They are not self-selecting, nor, well, maybe they think God did choose them. That may be exactly.
Maybe about that.
That could be about that.
So what's his reason for keeping, he's making.
He's running for CD1.
Okay. Why is he making reporters not come on the floor of the House? Why doesn't he want them there?
Well, there's a deep, dark secret. It's not a secret at all. The first thing that came out of the media. I, by the way, this is a sidebar. I am thrilled that he's hitting the media.
Me too.
Thrilled that he's keeping them off the floor. I could not be happier to piss off the media because they will now really maybe buckle down and start talking about the Arizona legislature and the men who lead it. And there's a new trend in legislatures right now that we've seen for the last 30 years. And the trend is in the Congress and in the state houses and state senates, we used to have people elected who represented their geographic unit, their locality, the businesses in their locality, the health needs perhaps, the communications, transportation needs. And so people went to Congress or went to the state legislature to get stuff for their people. Now, John McCain helped put an end to that by attacking earmarks in the U.S. Congress, considering road bills, school bills, health bills that were locality-based were earmarks and somehow corrupt. And so at the congressional level, this was eliminated, and we now have a different kind of leadership, and this is so important for us to understand. The leadership in the House and the Senate at the congressional at the national level and at the state level has become like the British system.
Yes.
The party leaders devise the policy they want, and you are whipped, meaning punished or rewarded for supporting the party leadership, regardless of what benefits or hurts your own district. Totally different. This is part of the disconnect between our elected, quote-unquote, leaders and what we've got now. We may elect these buzzards, but they don't listen to us. They listen to the party leadership, which comes out of a totally different ballpark. Andy Biggs won the Publishers Clearinghouse. He's got more money, maybe, than God, but he doesn't need us. He pays for what he wants. Why don't we? It's the system is different. And yes, electing new people will make a difference, but we've also got to change the system back to expecting local elected officials to represent local opinion.
So, Gowan, is that how you pronounce
Gowan,
it? Yeah, because I read it and I don't listen to things.
Yeah. He's been a member of ALEC for 15 years.
Yes, he's been in the legislature for 15
Forever.
Years.
Forever. He goes back and forth.
And he got caught doing something by the press.
Okay,
Isn't that why he suddenly doesn't want the press on the floor of the legislature?
Yeah, he used his state-supported car. I'm sorry, I got a little excited there. He used his state car to travel the congressional district that he's running for. So, oops, his congressional district is not his legislative district, but he's still using the car and charging everything off to the state.
For campaigning.
Unless he owns
the state. So
well, so he thinks it's all his.
Issues,
yeah,
Harriet,
yeah, I mean. Yeah. But the one of the reporters from the Capital Times reported on his troubles, and he had to repay the state $12,000 for unjustified expenses. And apparently he didn't like that, and he thought it was unfair. So he wrote a law that was based on apparently some bar fight that the reporter got into and used it as a background check device to make reporters undergoes very stringent background, and if you were guilty of any of the things that this reporter had ever done, you could no longer report on the legislature. I think we ought to investigate the legislatures at least as tough as we do the reporters.
The level of corruption, I think everybody would agree, in the Arizona legislature. I mean, it's done a little more directly, at least as far as we know, than the old days where they gave you a stack of bills in an envelope. But other than that, the corruption, I guess my shock is that when the corruption gets exposed, it doesn't seem to have much effect, Harriet. Why is that?
The voters do not plug in, and it's become a mindset. We're examining it for the first time, and this is why I said I'm glad the media got attacked.
Right.
Media has been doing on the one hand, on the other hand, he said, she said reporting with a great deal of equivalency, as in you can say what you want to say and you can say what you want to say, and there's equal truth. And we know this is not true. At some point, there needs to be an evaluation at some standard of honesty and some standard of serving the public, which media has kind of overlooked. And that's why I'm hoping the reporters begin to see that all actions are not just equivalent in moral value.
One of the problems is with that is that the media have so few reporters anymore.
Oh, yeah.
The news channels, the television channels, have two or three reporters each, and they're out covering the latest, road rage shooting or
and
crash.
They could choose a different agenda, by the way. The editors and the people who own these media outlets could start refocusing on public morality and our elected officials.
But as they've told me when I have brought that to their attention, is that they're giving the public what the public wants.
Absolutely.
Well, they also say,
do massage therapists.
One of the investigative reporters said, if people don't know who Joel Arpaio is and what he does after he didn't investigate 162 cases of sexual predator and molestation, and we report it and people still reelect him, we've done our job. I mean, the people of Arizona have to do their job too.
Part of it is a very weak political culture, which is another phase of political science. In the Northeast, public service is considered an honor.
That's right.
It is considered something that you are honored to be allowed to do for the public. In Chicago, for all of its flaws, it's transactional. You do me a favor, I do you a favor. We both get schools built, we both get roads built. But here in Arizona, we are the heirs of the Confederate soldiers who wouldn't stay in Texas after it rejoined the Union. And they came out here, and you had free public lands. Well, they're still fighting. That's your Prairie Rebellion heirs. They took the land, and they considered it theirs, and they're not giving it back. So underneath all of this is the "it's mine and the government can't have it" attitude. Mm. I grew up in the South, you can tell.
I laugh very quickly.
But I see this Southern, this kind of Southernness of "you can't tell me what to do." And it stretches into racial relationships, gender relationships, whatever. It's mine and the government can't take it away from me. And if I want to beat the hell out of my wife, that's my right.
And the irony, of course, is that
the South
is that they basically got the land from the government. The state trust land that 123 is about was given to the state of Arizona in 1912, became a state by the federal government to use to fund schools.
And explicitly to fund schools. This is why the treasurer of the state of Arizona and one of his deputies talked to my AAUW group two weeks ago, and he said the treasurer considers it unconstitutional to make this deal to increase the takedown of the state lands trust, and that he has pledged he will not cut a check until Congress approves it. And this is where I think the teachers are going to be blindsided, because the treasurer swears he won't write the check. So how will they make him do it? they will file a lawsuit against him. Anybody got any estimates on how long that lawsuit will take? Meanwhile, the money is tied up, and that $4,000 a year salary, this is where I say it's all a sham. It's a poison pill.
We'll know soon.
I'm sitting here at 8:45 on Monday morning, and I'm telling you that the ads I'm seeing on TV, it's going to pass. When they say we got $70 billion in assets, let's spend it on education.
Yeah.
That's going to resonate in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
This is going to pass.
Yeah.
Well, people want to help education, and they don't want to pay any taxes, tax any corporation because they believe the whole trickle-down thing. If we tax corporations we'll get a whole bunch of business coming to Arizona.
Oh, right. If we improve our schools, they will all flock to Arizona because we don't regulate and we don't tax, and so it's an open field running. It's funny, though. No one seems to want to live in Arizona when you come from a high-tech company. Just really, really strange. The guy who came in, Intel, has now made the comment he never would have moved here if he'd known how rotten the politics were.
What else, Harriet?
Do you think any of the others agree with him?
What else, Harriet, is going on in the legislature? Well, I know it's a difficult topic, but there's a bunch of really nasty, horrible, bad, evil bills in the legislature. And Mike knows all about this, too.
Well, I would start with the poison pill part about how much of the state lands do you want to sell off to support education, and who wants to buy it. I looked up the donors to the yes on 1, 2, 3. It's easy to do. Secretary of State's office has it. You just look up who are the donors to yes to Prop 1, 2, 3, for example. And the ones that are listed mainly live in Paradise Valley, and their occupation is, anyone want to guess?
Real estate.
Developer. And so that's one of the things that I think is unexamined when we talk about all of this. The second thing that's unexamined is the rumor that there is a bill ready to drop right after 1, 2, 3 passes. I agree with your analysis. It seems like too good to be true. Maybe it is. But if it passes immediately, supposedly, there's a bill ready to go that will end the income tax in Arizona, which means we will have reached nirvana. We will have wonderful education, and we'll have no income tax.
I don't know they can convince people of that, Harriet. I'm sure they're going to try. What else are they doing?
All right. Other things. Immigration. It's one of the key fault lines within Arizona and within much of the country. Is we're a country of immigrants, but it's so easy for us to get really worked up about they come here and they take my jobs. I think the Trump criticism, or the criticism of Trump and his horrible nativism about they are different from us and we've got to build a wall to keep them out, makes people react because they are suffering economically. I think there really is suffering in our country that goes unaddressed because of what you just mentioned, this blind belief that if we let corporations run everything, they'll do good things for us.
But they're turning to the Tea Party rather than to reforming the system where we tax the wealthy at a reasonable rate. I mean, I think even the far left, if that's Bernie Sanders, nobody's going to seize all their assets and stuff.
No.
All we want them to do is pay some taxes.
Well, what we've got to do, I mean, now we're getting into the deep weeds, but the argument that corporations are making these inversions where companies are moving overseas to take advantage of other corporate tax rates, brings us back to Congress and why Congress doesn't take action. Congress, if they would sit down and study it, Paul Ryan may be getting there, I don't know. But if they would sit down and really look at the tax code and eliminated stupid loopholes that are just blind giveaways to some corporate donor, to some campaign, if you really made it rational and tight and coherent and funded the IRS so they could perhaps enforce it, you could, in fact, lower corporate taxes. Everyone agrees to that. All you have to do is actually collect what you might enforce. But we don't do any of that because so many of our congressmen are so much in the pocket of their own local corporation. They get their campaign funds. They run. They win. They're happy. And so they protect until the death whatever loophole they have seen
they
pass.
They get their lunch from their local businesses.
And the same is true in the state legislature. So you're talking about weaning away. You know, Bernie Sanders doesn't like to wean people, apparently. He wants a revolution. Well, it's going to be heads cut off if he's going to really try it, because we've got to wean our congressmen away from the money that helps them get reelected. They all love to be reelected.
One of the interesting things about this topic is the Panama Papers that came out, which has all of these government leaders and wealthy hiding their money and to avoid taxes. And I learned yesterday one of the reasons you probably won't see many, if any, Americans on that list, mm-hmm. is that we have shelters in the U.S. that are in the state of Delaware and Nevada that are better tax shelters, better ways of hiding your money than putting it in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, and we have the Cayman Islands, which is really, I think, it's, as we learned in the last election, where an awful lot of super wealthy people keep their money. Yeah, I mean, one of Putin's best friends got caught with Putin said the guy was buying musical instruments, but it was like $2 billion that's stashed away.
That's a lot of cellos.
Is it the prime minister or the prime minister of Iceland has resigned?
No, he didn't. He stepped back. I heard that corrected on NPR yesterday. I didn't read that carefully, but the New York Times reported he will step down until he is cleared. We look at Delaware. What else? There were three states that were mentioned
Wyoming.
Delaware and Nevada and
Wyoming.
Wyoming, yeah, I think is the third.
So you can go in and establish a corporation, and you will be shielded from examination and possible regulations. And that means I take my crooked money and put it in a bank account somewhere in Nevada. It's very convenient.
I worked for a company that was a big international company in the hotel business, and the hotel I worked in was owned by something from the Cayman Islands. We had no idea who actually owned the hotel and who was, sometimes hotels do the same thing that Trump does. He's the front to add grandeur to the project, I guess.
We're talking to Harry Young this morning on about the Arizona legislature. Harry Young is a political science expert from northern Arizona, right here in our own backyard. Forget that silly accent she has, but we are going to talk more about the Arizona legislature. We know that right now they're against child health care. The president of the Senate is blocking a free bill, costs Arizona nothing, for 30,000 kids for health care. We're talking the education, the proposition we're going to vote on, 1-2-3, as far as we're concerned, and the rumors are that it's going to eliminate public education, and they're going to eliminate the income tax, because it's all going to be funded out of the state land trust. And immigration. We've got a little bit into immigration, which certainly is a big national thing. It certainly launched Trump. Well, who knew there was that much hate out there? Mm-hmm. But as you just mentioned, that there's people hurting economically, and they want somebody to blame it on. So they blame it on immigrants. Even though we are a nation of immigrants.
Yeah,
I know. Hillary Clinton said, well, I didn't know Trump well, but she said, I was really surprised at the hate immigrant stuff coming from it.
He's married to three women who were born overseas.
But we are.
And so what is
Arizona doing about that?
How about our crack legislators in our district? I'd love to hear your analysis of Bob Thorpe and Sylvia Allen and Brenda Barton.
Oh, it's so hard to know really where to begin. Bob Thorpe is the phantom of the opera, as far as we know. He is a self-professed constitutional expert and has written books on the Constitution, which really sound like Saul Alinsky, is what I've been told, and have almost nothing to do with what our actual Constitution. He is promoting one of the most recent of the ALEC brilliant ideas, which is state legislature supremacy. I don't know if you guys have been following him as carefully as we have. In Flagstaff, we've had two proposals with our city council. One was to equal to increase pay within the city and county government to $15 an hour as a model, and to raise the minimum wage in Flagstaff. And we also wanted to eliminate the use of plastic bags. Now, these are both intensely local. Well, Bob Thorpe has presented a bill to the Arizona legislature, which they're considering, and you've heard from other parts of the state, that will say that no city is allowed to make local laws that are different from state laws. And they are asserting a principle of state legislative supremacy. This is a new ALEC gimmick. ALEC is going around the country. North Carolina's anti-gay, anti-GLBT, pardon me, legislation is straight out of the ALEC book. Brenda Barton has a mixed record. She's part of the coalition that the Republicans count on for numbers. You know, there aren't that many rich people who feel sorry for rich people.
In the House of Arizona.
LD6 representative. Okay. There are not enough rich people or people who feel sorry for rich people to elect officials. So there must be a number of other people to be attracted to the Republicans' cry for lower taxes and no regulation. In addition to that, they, of course, promote the right to have your religious beliefs enshrined in law, and you can determine in the commercial arena whom you will serve and whom you will not serve. And this pleases people who are opposed to gay activities, LGBT lives.
Yeah.
And this brings in a lot of people who have that issue.
I understand. Then we want Sylvia Allen.
And then Sylvia Allen has her own
Senator Sylvia,
who is now chairman of the Senate Education Committee, has her own charter school, Christian school, that she gets
No conflict of interest there.
None. And she certainly never voted to help herself. Absolutely none. And she waived the budget in my face 2 years ago and said, here are all these numbers that the House Speaker gave us with all these budget numbers. I don't know what to do, you know.
Oh, great.
I know nothing about no childbirth, Mama.
Just what
she believes
you.
The Earth is
6,000 years old. The Grand Canyon was formed by God's finger.
Yeah.
There's God's finger again.
Chemtrails are poisoning us. And what is that Agenda 21? Which is, whatever it is the bottom barrel of right-wing conspiracy theory.
It's the Agenda 21 is the UN recommendations for a sustainable planet.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well,
right. So to sum up, Harriet, what can be done? The great question. What can be done? You've got 1.5 minutes
and
to tell us.
And it doesn't even take me half that long, because it takes one thing, and it is for the voters to pay some attention to local politics, to state politics, and to see how much of that is actually benefiting the public at large. I think education, health, our children, abused children, poverty, these are huge issues, and we ignore those completely in deference to political leaders who are absolutely self-serving. They are serving their own interest economically. If they have an ideology, that's what's getting enacted. And they are just totally disconnected to the public of Arizona and its needs.
Well, there you go. We've heard from Harriet Young, political science, everything in Northern Arizona. There's so much more that we didn't get to specific House bills. We didn't get to specific Senate bills in the Arizona legislature that are coming from, that are written by the American Legislative Exchange Council. Our laws are coming from out of state. But we want to say thank you to the Democrats of the Red Rocks for the money that they give us to help us out here. We want to sneak in. I'm not sure they want it, but this is Democratic perspective, and Ledbetter Law helps us out on occasion, and we thank them for that. We have this show and all of our shows available on vvid.org. You can listen to our podcast. You can listen to beautiful Harriet Young on vvid.org anytime you want. Please go there. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.